Hey, welcome into Stone Cold Stros. I'm Brandon Strange alongside Charlie Polillo and Sports Talk 790's Josh Jordan. Follow them on X at Polillo and at Josh Jordan SCS. On today's episode, Houston's momentum gets derailed by the Brew Crew. We'll give some observations from that series as well as take a look ahead and question if this is the time the Astros can make a run that puts their head above water. Charlie and Josh, welcome in. It's been a rough season up until recently when Houston's been able to string together some wins. I think the series against Milwaukee was probably a good reality check that the Astros are still an undermanned squad. However, I do think there are some positives to take away from the series, and it really starts with the pitchers not named Brian Abreu. We've had to couch some of the recent success up until this point because of level of competition, but Houston's pitching staff did a pretty decent job of holding a good Brewers team to 9 runs over 3 games. Ultimately, it was the Brewers' superior pitching and offense that was the difference, but only in margins by 1 and 2, as seen by the first and last games. What did you guys see? Charlie, we'll start with you.
Well, as you note, no shame or anything in dropping 2 out of 3 to Milwaukee. The Brewers are a fascinating franchise, one of the smaller markets in Major League Baseball, but they develop, they sign internationally, and they squeeze every drop of juice from the orange, lemon, or whatever citrus you want to go with. Remember, after the 2023 season, they trade elite starter Corbin Burnes. They win the division the next year. Last offseason, they trade Freddy Peralta away to the Mets, top 5 Cy Young guy last season. And the Brewers remain the class of the National League Central. Their home run leader for the season has 9. Jake Bauer's 9th was the big blow in the game on Sunday. But you look up and down their lineup and you're going, this is a team on pace to win 100 games, but they run the bases well. They're a very good defensive team, though they tried to really give the game to the Astros Friday night and the Astros wouldn't take it. And they're well coached is what we'd say about a football or a basketball team. Well managed. Pat Murphy, baseball lifer, didn't get a gig until Craig Counsell left for the Cubs for $8 million a year as a manager. Yeah, and the Brewers have dusted the Cubs 2 years, and they're working on 3 in a row. So Murphy, 66 years old, finally got a gig at 64. He's the National League Manager of the Year, 2 years running. They just have all the vibes. They're just really solid. And they now have that showstopper, the kid who pitched Sunday, who we mentioned in the look ahead, that Jacob Mizorowski boy, he is the truth. And the Astros, over their history, of course, have had just blow-you-away starters from J.R. Richard to Nolan Ryan to even late-career Roger Clemens and Verlander and Cole. Well, Mizorowski, I'm not forecasting the career of any of those guys because you'd have to bet the under. But, man, on Sunday, the first 20 pitches he threw in the game, all of them at least 100 miles per hour, straight up blowing away Yordan Alvarez in the first inning of that game. And then he mixed in a curveball, 89 miles per hour, a slider, 99 miles per hour. He topped over 103, and he finished the month of May. Spencer Arrighetti was awesome and should be the American League Pitcher of the Month for May with a 0.93 earned run average. Hold my brew, says Jacob Mizorowski. That kid finished the month of May, 38 and a third innings pitched, 14 hits allowed, 6 walks, 57 strikeouts, earned run average 0.23. He's 24 years old out of Crowder College. That sounds like it's made up for a movie or something. A junior college. He was going to go to LSU and then at a Major League Baseball draft combine. Who's this kid hitting 99? And so he went in the draft. He wasn't one of the top 50 players selected in the draft. And here he is just a couple of years later. Remember the controversy last season? He made just 5 big league starts, but Rob Manfred said, hey, marketing, let's put him on the All-Star team. And then after the All-Star break, he was no good, and then he was injured. Well, he is great and the kind of guy that no team would want to see really under any circumstances, certainly not in a baseball playoff series. The Astros kind of have that guy, except he's on the IL and Hunter Brown. But wow, Mizorowski, you know, living up to the hype, very loose analogy to Victor Wembanyama with the Spurs. There are certain guys who come along that you just can't take their eyes off of them when they're on the court or the field. And the Astros will face another one of those Wednesday when Paul Skeens is here. But not nobody hits the Miz. but very few do. So that they won the rubber game behind him. But as I pay enough homage to Jacob Mizorowski, you hit the highlight, not just of the series, but really of the last fortnight plus for the Astros, Brandon. Starting pitchers earned run average is about 3.3 over a 15-game stretch. Am I backing up quality starts that I'm going 110 pitches through his six innings? Now, if Mike Burrows can get up to speed and Kaiwei Tang can maintain his, you have a foundation, though the Mariners seem to have it rolling now. But at least in the wild card, in the substandard American League, if the Astros have a credible rotation, they can hang around in contention in that at least.
Yeah, for me, it's about the pitching. If we look at just the last 30 days, bring the sample size a little larger, Astros are 15th in ERA, 3.67. That'll work. And you guys mentioned Emai, terrific. His last two outings, 12 innings, only giving up two runs. 110 pitches, the outing before that, 97 pitches. So all that fatigue with his arm seems to be a thing of the past. So you have to like the overall outlook for the Astros pitching. Hopefully Javier will be back soon. We'll see how that works, and we'll see what he looks like when he comes back. But either way, the big picture, it's trending up for the Astros. And really, they should have won this series. They had a lot of opportunities to win game one. They could not cash in. I was really disappointed with that one. But overall, you think Altuve should be back soon. I think Houston's in a good spot here. And really, if you ask them, they'd probably tell you, we should have won that series. But they weren't able to cash in on some really big opportunities. That was disappointing. But, on to Pittsburgh.
I think what was impressive was something Charlie touched on, was that the Brewers did not fear Yordan. They went right after him all series and in big moments. And when it was all said and done, kind of weak numbers by Yordan standards. Two walks, two hits, six strikeouts. On a side note, I really liked what Emai said after the game Sunday about how he felt more confident in his ability to shift weight properly and be connected to the mound with his feet. He talked about how important it is for him to feel that weight load in his left heel. And I think that's such a better explanation than we've received from him previously about his struggles with the mound. So I think just his ability to articulate what's been going on with him, I found as a positive step. And Josh, you brought it up, so I want to talk about it. I want to talk about Friday's loss, because I've seen a lot of people mad at either Brian Abreu just for sucking or Joe Espada. Then there was those that were upset in the 10th that Myers couldn't hold the unearned runner to second on a pop-up, and then advanced to third and then eventually scored. I think trying to blame Myers is the thing I least understand about that situation. And I think it also ignores the fact that Houston had bases loaded, bottom of the ninth with Paredes up. Uribe went right at him, popped him up. In the 10th, Yordan and Walker both had DiCenzo in scoring position as the unearned runner. Brewers go right at both, strikeout, flyout. So there's all kinds of things that decide a one-run game, but Jake's noodle arm, I think it gets the least of the blame, because Cam's RBI double isn't a RBI if the Brewers don't blow an easy double play. And then Cam gets tagged out on that awful base running blunder on the Shoemake grounder, which was consequential because Jake Myers gets an RBI double the next play, would have scored two had Smith not been picked off second. So I think blaming Myers really loses perspective of all the things that happened in that game. I don't know where your thoughts are.
Oh, fair to note that Jake Myers has a noodle arm, but that's not a news flash. Cam Smith has a very strong arm. He didn't make a good throw to the plate after that, where he might have had a shot to cut the runner down there. Plays here, plays there are going to happen. But yeah, if you're going to get hung up on, boy, if the Astros had a center fielder who had a big arm, well, they don't. They're not going to move Cam Smith to center field. And as you alluded to, look, the Astros lose that game 4-2, if not for a couple of unearned runs set up by the Brewers. And in that ninth inning, they had the bases loaded, one out. Paredes popped out to end the inning. Taylor Trammell takes strike three basically right down the pipe with the bases loaded, one out, the infield in, the outfield way in, right? Taylor Trammell, gravity's going to pull him back to being Taylor Trammell. It's not his fault, but this is a guy who's batting first. He's batting cleanup. It speaks to the paucity of quality talent in the Astros lineup overall. Then in that 10th inning, you get the comp runner at second. Yordan fails to advance him. Frankly, I was shocked. I fully expected them to intentionally walk him. first and second, set up the double play, lesser hitters beyond Jordan. But as you noted, Brandon, the Brewers consistently went after him, and McGill blew him away, as he did again on Sunday. Jordan, you know, it can't be awesome every day or every week, but to see him just get torched by fastballs repeatedly in the series, it was a little bit eye-opening, but these things happen. Nothing tragic about it. But, you know, if you overreact series to series, which is part of the fun of being a fan, good and bad, but you leave yourself vulnerable to losing the big picture, right? The Astros go take 3 out of 4 in Arlington, silver boot fever. Well, they gave up the two games they made over the made up on the Rangers in that series because the Rangers swept the Royals over the weekend while the Astros are losing 2 out of 3. It's ultimately, as always, about the long game of 162 in defining how good your team is or isn't.
Yeah, you got to find a way to manufacture runs. When you have bases loaded, one out, you got to get some runs across the plate. They didn't. It cost you the series. And that's why the Brewers are where they are and why the Astros are in the spot they're in, at least so far this season.
Yeah, that base is
a relapse. I'm sure that picked at a scab of many. You come in, you hit a guy, and then 4-pitch walk, setting up the short fly ball that Myers can't prevent the runner from getting to third. And then the line drive fly ball that would have taken a terrific throw from Cam Smith. He didn't make it, but Abreu lit the fuse.
I get it. And I totally understand why people are upset about that. And I get people wanting to blame Joe Espada. I think Joe understands in the big picture, it's really prudent to this team to get Abreu on the right track and to try to instill some confidence in him. They need
and it had been better over recent appearance.
Yes, but I think it was kind of a mischaracterization of where he was at to look back at that string of games and say, well, he hadn't given up a run over this past like 6 games. And it was us looking for, and me specifically, looking for a silver lining for Abreu. And right now, there's just not one to be had. He just cannot consistently throw strikes. Thankfully, the rest of the pitching staff has seemed to be able to get their hands around the strike zone. Abreu has not. I want to talk about the upcoming schedule and preview the Pirate Series. But before we do that, Charlie, give us a word for Greg Sheena at Fidelity One Mortgage, please.
Fidelity One Mortgage, a Houston-based company with decades of experience and performance. Greg's been a co-owner for 36 years. Originating loans throughout the state, both homes and investment properties. Summertime is, well, not by definition here, but it's here, and with that, typically, competition for purchasing homes increases. Improved chances of an accepted offer by securing pre-approval. And with Fidelity One Mortgage providing that pre-approval, you're still free to rate shop, but you will find that they're just fine when it comes to rates, but you're not precluded from shopping around. Whether buying, refinancing, or tapping into home equity, Fidelity One Mortgage performs for you. They'll help you qualify, apply, and be approved. Give Greg a call. Get up to a $600 credit at closing for the appraisal by mentioning you heard about them here on Stone Cold Strokes. 713-952-9276, 952-9276, NMLS 311100, Fidelity One Mortgage.
So we've talked about Houston's soft schedule over the past couple episodes here, but we're really getting into the thick of it now that we're on the other side of the Brewers, the Pirates, who we'll preview specifically shortly. A's after that, then Angels, Royals, and Tigers. Charlie, you and I discussed the opportunity that could be here for the taking should Houston be able to take advantage of it, especially with the benefit of some guys returning. We're seeing what they've been able to do without Brown and Hader. Does it make you guys feel more confident now that this team has a real chance of getting their head above that 500 mark over the next few series?
Not wildly confident of doing it within the next few series, right? They start the Pittsburgh series 7 games under. So you take 2 out of 3, 2 out of 3, 2 out of 3. You have to do that 7 times in a row over 21 games, 14-7. That's good baseball for the better part of a month. What I do feel much better about from an Astros standpoint is seeing the whole thing vaporize on them. Because with the improvement of the starting pitching, you would think they're not immunized, but less susceptible to losing 7 out of 8 again, or an 8-game losing streak was their rock bottom in terms of consecutive losses, right? The Pirates come here. They're good. Actually, they are good. You know, everyone in the National League Central, 500 or better. You know, the A's have been scuffling of late. The Astros do then go to the Angels, terrible, at the Royals, terrible, home for the Tigers, terrible. So it really is a window, Brandon, where you'd say, hey, you should take at least two out of three in each of those, throw a sweep in there. But in the short sample size, you just never know. If offered 14-7 the next 21 games, which would get them to 500 at what, 41-41, I'd be all over it. But at least they don't look like they're such a mess at this point that they could bleed out and fall to oblivion.
Yeah, I mean, as the pitching is improving, like I mentioned, middle of the pack now in ERA over the last 30 days. Well, the offense has fallen off a little bit. You look at the runs scored over the last 30 days, they're 24th. Over the last 15 days, a little better, 17th, kind of middle of the pack. But that's kind of what's happening with the Astros. When you get the pitching, you don't get the hitting, and vice versa. So they got to find a way to have a little better balance here and come to the ballpark every day. And the pitching is giving you a chance to win. But as you saw in this series, the offense goes bananas one game, and then it kind of gives you nothing the next day. And as Astros fans, we're certainly used to seeing that.
Yeah, and Altuve apparently coming along ahead of schedule. Cross your fingers on the diagnosis there. Altuve getting back, he's not the player that he used to be. But even reduced Jose Altuve is a better player than Nick Allen. He's a better player than Braden Shoemaker. So, you know, if you get low 700s, OPS out of your second baseman, that's better than you get over time. The outfield to me still remains a serious issue, right? Zach Cole flamed, went to the minors. Taylor Trammell over time, I fully expect him to. Taylor Trammell, Jake Myers has been very spotty. When Altuve gets back, you know, will Espada consider a little more of Alvarez in left field, right? The Paredes spot, you didn't have to worry about that when Correa went down for the season. But once they have their guys back, you know, I mean, I'm not loading up on Joey Lopefito stock, but I think he should be at least incrementally better than what Trammell will be over time, than what Cam Smith has been this season. Or what Bryce Matthews or Zach DeCenzo figure to give you. They just don't have the horses, I think, to have a thoroughbred offense in terms of depth. So, you know, they need to sustain the pitching improvement and have an offense be good enough in an extremely mediocre American League where the Chicago White Sox are the second wild card. A sub 500 record still has the third wild card going into the week. I doubt it winds up that way. But if it means 84, 85 games could snag a wild card spot or maybe even the American League West, that's not beyond the pale for the Astros. But they have work to do just to get to 500, much less beyond.
Yeah, Altuve always seems to rehab faster than expected. But it's just Joe Espada just seems to ride him hard, excuse the phrasing. And I'm sure a lot of it is pressure of the schedule. I'm sure a lot of it is pressure from Altuve wanting to play, because Altuve probably tell you he wants to be out there every day. But Joe's got to be the voice of reason and be able to extract the best production out of Altuve over what's left of this contract, because I mean, there's plenty of it, but you want to be able to get the best out of Altuve over these last few years. And part of how you do that is rationing out him and his production. Now, Houston gets a much needed day off on Monday before starting the 3-game set with Pittsburgh, who we mentioned. They're fresh off sweeping the Twins and splitting a 4-game set with the Cubs. What are you guys looking for in this series?
Well, from the frying pan to the fire, Mizorowski on Sunday, Paul Skeens, against Spencer Arrighetti. There's a marquee pitching matchup in the Wednesday game. Pirates have a brace of young arms. Bubba Chandler is kind of underperformed, but he's very highly regarded. He'll go in the game Tuesday. And then Jared Jones, who's working back from injury, makes just his second start of the year on Thursday. But Arrighetti and Skeens on Wednesday, that is tasty. I mentioned the Pirates have been pretty good so far this season. Top five offense in the National League. By Pirate standards, they were very aggressive in the offseason. I think they made an offer that they thought was just good enough for Kyle Schwarber to turn down. But the three-way they made with the Astros, right? The Pirates with some pitching surplus. So, yeah, we'll deal off Mike Burrows. Brandon Lau has been fabulous for them. 14 home runs as their second baseman. OPS in the upper 800s. Outfielder Brian Reynolds is going to be an all-star. A bummer, not bad for the Astros, but hey, I just like to see great talent. The 20-year-old phenom shortstop, the Pirates gave $140 million, just went to the injured list, so he won't play in the series. But Ryan O'Hearn, who was a left-handed bat they added in the offseason, was off to a good start. He's coming off the IL, and a good left-handed bat added to face all the Astros' right-handed starting pitching. But they're still the Pirates. They're not to be confused with the lumber company of the 70s or the Bonds Bonilla teams of the 90s. So the modest goal is 2 out of 3. You can give him the Skeens game. But Eric Eddie could outpitch him. Guy's ERA is 1.34.
It could. And I'm certainly not worried about Eric Getty. Kaiwei Tang, I know what to expect from him. For me, it's Mike Burrows. Can he build off that great start against the Rangers that he had? 7 innings, you know, 2 runs, 6 strikeouts. Can he do something similar like that again? Because he's a guy the Astros are certainly counting on, and the stuff is there. So can he put it together and be more consistent, not just be a guy that eats up innings, but a guy that eats up innings and only gives up 2 or 3 runs, because that's what they truly need from him.
Josh, I think what's so interesting is how much we've seen as we're talking about the ability and stuff of guys and them being able to realize it. Same thing with Imai. How much of this game is in people's heads? And getting them right between the ears is the most critical step to unlocking the talent they actually have. We've heard from the training staff about how, and the coaches about how in the cage against a machine, Cam Smith can go ham on 110-mile-per-hour fastballs like it's nothing. But once you put him in the game and you've got a real person up there throwing and you've got people that are, you know, trying to outthink you, Cam just can't do it, or at least he hasn't been able to. He's had a much better stretch as of late, so we're hoping he can build off of that, because that's what I'm going to be looking for in this series is the offense, because we've talked about how just inconsistent they are. Pittsburgh's only middle of the pack when it comes to ERA, but they are the second most, the fourth highest in strikeouts in the league. So Astros need to make sure they're playing to contact, putting balls in play, and being able to get guys home. And man, it'd be nice if they could get this bases loaded bugaboo off of their back, because it just seems time and time again that it comes back to haunt them over and over. Final thoughts before we're out the door, Jets.
Well, June is busting out all over. Do the Astros have a bust out month in them, particularly given as soft a stretch of schedule on paper as they will have all season? Once you get beyond the Pirates series in succession, A's, Angels, Royals, Tigers. I mean, trash, trashier, trashiest, and whatever would be worse than trashiest, I guess. Good thing for AJ Hinch, he got another contract extension after the season, or his seat would be blistering hot right now. After the 12-20 mess of the few days of March plus April, the Astros have 15-14 a month of May. In the American League, it won't take much more than that if you can do it June, July, August, and September to at least be in the race right down to the wire for the wild card. Mentioned the Mariners playing very good ball. They get the Mets and Tigers this week themselves. So in terms of the division race, the Astros need a solid week, or they're going to find themselves 6-7 games back of the M's probably again.
For me, it's Josh Hader. He could be back this week. And man, what a difference that could make if he's right. You put him in your bullpen right now, and I think you feel a whole lot better about your relief pitching, certainly.
Yeah, you have to feel pretty good about Okert. King's been, I mean, I think any hiccups that we've seen from Okert and King, I really can attribute to overuse. I just think, you know, we talk about Joe Espada and how hard he rides his guys. Those are a couple of guys, and understandably so, because there hasn't been a whole lot of reliable arms out of that bullpen. So him going to King and Okert as much as he has is understandable, but it's also understandable when those guys are going to have hiccups. I meant to do this Thursday, and it got lost in my notes while we were doing the live show and all the excitement of winning the series in Arlington. But friends of the show, friends of my family, Rick and Beatrice Pena, celebrated their 55-year wedding anniversary on Thursday. They were my neighbors growing up, and there was a lot of basketball played in each other's driveways. So Rick's retired now, but he works guest services at the Astros game. Huge Houston sports fan, but two of the kindest souls you'll ever meet. So congrats to Rick and B. We love you guys. If you're watching on YouTube, be sure to click like on the video. And if you listen on podcast apps like Apple or Spotify, give us a 5-star rating while you're here. For Charlie and Josh, I'm Brandon saying so long. We'll see you later this week. And as always, go Astros.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.